Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello. Welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we talk about various Blizzard games because that is our raison d'etre. That's what we do every week. We like doing it. You can't stop us. Now, not even cutting off the stream can stop us. With me this week are two fantastic co-hosts. I actually do a show with them every other week anyway, so it's like an extra one. It's really great this week. I'm going to introduce him first because he's not usually on this podcast. He's the Shaman columnist for WoW Insider, and he also knows, and I just said that word, and he also knows a lot about lore. Joe Perez. Hey, Joe, how are you this week?
I am doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Not great, but we don't need to talk about it.
Well, in any event, thank you for having me today.
Oh, thanks for being here, man. It's really great. I sound like I don't mean that, but I actually really do. I was just thinking about that bunny you drew for me. Do you remember that bunny you drew for me?
Dude, Thunder Fury, yes.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. That's still
also one of my favorites. I love it.
Yeah.
If anybody hasn't seen that, I'll get Matt to retweet it later. Or I'll tweet it out later on.
Yeah, it is a really awesome picture. It's a rabbit in Warrior Tier 2, the Battle Gear of Wrath, with Thunder Fury and the Elementium Reinforced Bulwark. It's just the best. It's the most awesome picture. If I had to be a rabbit, this is the rabbit I want to be. Also with us this week. Oh, I'm sorry, man. You were saying?
I was going to say, it's just how I envision you.
Yes. If only. Also with us this week, as she is just about every week, even if I'm not here, she's here. Because we have her sealed in a tomb, and her only release is via microphone, Anne Stickney.
I am but a voice in the void.
So what have you been up to?
This, that, the other. A lot of stuff. Actually, most of the stuff that I've been doing has been out of game over the last week. Both catching up on reading, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but also my father and I are working on the back room of the house, like getting that refinished. It didn't actually have a floor. It was like half plywood and then this concrete slab. So now there's a floor and there's tile on the floor and there's drywall on the walls and it's all been painted. And this weekend was mostly painting trim. So I apologize in advance if there are any construction noises during the podcast, but my dad is 86 and I can't tell him no. So
the fact that your father in 86 has decided to continually rebuild the house is something nothing short of amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. No, I hope I'm like that when I'm 86. he just doesn't know when to stop. He never stops. He just keeps right on trucking on. So, yeah, we're having fun with it.
All right. There's actually quite a few things to talk about this week in terms of Blizzard news. One thing I just found out after I'd already sent out the email, so I'll talk about it first, is that Diablo might be going free to play.
No, they already said on Twitter that they're not.
Yeah.
That it was just it was a display error or something.
I still think that it's worth mentioning, even if they're not, just because I think they should. And here's why I think they should.
Like, because... for everything or just for plain Jane?
Yeah, just the starter. Like, you, I'm not saying, you know, getting 1 to 70 might be a bit much, but I certainly think 1 to 60 at this point, why not put that out there free, especially since it will get people to buy Reaper of Souls. And let's be honest, Reaper of Souls is when Diablo 3 got good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much better with Reaper of Souls. I'm saying put it out there, let people get to 60, and let them experience the game world and see if that, you know, makes them want to buy Reaper of Souls, quite frankly. Because they've been doing that with WoW for years. Like, they keep releasing, like, the new starter pack, which has everything up to a certain point. It's usually, like, one expansion behind. And I think, quite frankly, they should start doing that for Diablo, and they should do a new expansion for Diablo already. Guys, do an expansion. What are you doing here? Well, you're killing me.
I'm on board with all of that.
You know. But also, this week we found out something really interesting, that we now know when Overwatch is coming out.
May 24th. So excited.
And we also know that they're going to have the open, I don't want to say open beta because they said it was early access on May 3rd. Am I correct on that?
Okay. What they're doing, the open beta is May 5th, and the early access starts on May 3rd for people that pre-order.
Okay. And is the early access is access to the beta, correct?
It's access to the open beta. You just get it a couple of days early.
Okay, so that's all May. May is going to be the month of Overwatch.
May.
Which I think is pretty cool. I think it's kind of a short beta, to be completely honest. That's not, you know, but then again, they've had the closed beta this whole time, so.
Well, the open beta is pretty much, it's let's pile people in the servers and see what happens, you know.
Well, it's also open betas are one of those last little pushes to kind of drum up some interest in people that maybe either A, haven't gotten a beta invite before, or B, were kind of like, I'm not really sure if it's for me. But I mean, let's be honest, most gamers, if there's a free game, they're going to try it.
Yeah, they want people to come in and try it out, because everybody's been really up in arms over the whole closed beta thing, and they just want to play Overwatch. They just want to try it out. So
this is going to be their
opportunity to do that. You know,
this has been one of the games that has been interesting to watch, in my opinion, because it's not Blizzard's usual wheelhouse at all. And there's a certain amount of crossover between people who play games like Warcraft, World of Warcraft, or Starcraft, or Diablo, and then this, which is very much like Team Fortress and so forth. And it's been interesting to watch people play it. Like, people I know who never play Team Fortress have been talking about Overwatch, that they're interested in playing it, or that they are playing it on the closed beta and that they like it. So I think it's good to have the beta. I'm surprised at how the duration of it. That seems a little short to me. But, you know, like you guys said, it's mostly to let people see it and get interested.
Yeah, it's not really what I would call a really complex game.
No.
As far as there's not a ton of stuff to do in it, there's a limited number of maps, there's a limited number of heroes, so I think a month is plenty long enough for people to try stuff out and go, yeah, I like this guy, or no, I don't like that guy, or I'm going to have to learn how to play that guy really well, you know, and make a determination about whether or not they'd actually really like to play the game. It's a fun game. I pre-ordered it. I don't think I'm ever going to play it solo, but it's the kind of game that I want to sit down and play with friends.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it. Like, it was one of those things where, and I feel like that way with any game of that nature, is it's a social game for me. And if I'm playing with friends, it's something that I'm likely to play. But on my own, I can't. It's one of those things where I know myself well enough to know I won't pick it up for solo play. It's just how I am, because there's a certain fun about kicking back a few beers and, you know, shooting things at friends or with friends. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I might get it for console, because on my PC, it's too close to me. The screen is too close. It's too small. I can't really see it properly. I almost got Diablo for consoles, and I ended up not, because it's just because I have it right here on my PC. But if I might actually get this one for consoles, I'm really interested in it for consoles, because I feel like that would be a really good place for it. Like, you know, because...
I think that's my only gripe, is I don't know where to buy it for, because I have both consoles that it's going to be on, and I have the PC, and it's like, what do I, if I do get it, where do I pick it up? What do I pick it up? Like, it's,
yeah. If you have a lot of friends on PC, then PC is probably the way to go, because you want to play with your friends. I don't have a huge friends list that I'm going to be playing Overwatch with, so I'm on the fence on that one. I haven't decided yet.
And I'm sticking with PC because I don't have either of the consoles it's coming out on. So,
yeah. So in addition to that, we've already mentioned it once, and I'll probably keep mentioning it because I am this excited about it. World of Warcraft Chronicle is out soon, and it is amazing.
It is out, actually, book. I believe, a week from today.
Yes.
So we will be doing a lore watch that talks about this book. So we're not going to give any spoilers or anything like that.
Well, let's be honest. It's not going to be a lore watch that covers this book. There's going to be several.
Yeah, but at least, you know, we're going to talk about it this week, most likely. So I'll just say this. If you like World of Warcraft lore, and if you've ever said to yourself or said to us, because lots of people email us, where do I learn more about, I'll buy this book. That is how you learn more about. I don't even care. Anything from the dawn of time up to just before the First War. And it doesn't cover the First War. It goes right up to the edge of it and stops. So everything from that period of time, if you want to know about it, it's in this book. If it's not in this book, we don't have any information about it. It's just that simple. It's that comprehensive. It's got a cosmology section, which has given Anne an excuse to, like, you know, deface a map like you've never seen.
It's glorious, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's like I was looking at, like, her pictures, like she's drawing stuff. I'm going, okay, this looks like John Madden is now in charge of the universe. Like, it's
probably is, in one theory.
But seriously, it's got something for, you know, if you're the obsessive lore compulsive, if you're just interested in lore, if you like looking at pretty pictures, if you're interested in one thing, like if you're a dwarf aficionado, or you love trolls, or if you've always been big into night elves, or you want to know more about the Draenei, or if for some reason you like humans, it's got stuff for everybody. It is fantastically broad.
It's very comprehensive, and it's also very, it's a heavy book. Like, yeah, there's a lot of information to digest in this one.
If orcs did invade our reality, you could kill one with this book. I don't recommend it, because then you get all over the book.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was talking more like the way it's written. There's a lot of weight to the book, you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's also a very
large
book.
But it's also fairly sizable, and you could clock somebody over the head with it. We don't recommend that.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about that, actually.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, that's what the podcast is for.
I've got two dogs. I've got my beagle, Sylvanas, and I've got my beagle mix, Tristana, and then I have a cat, Luna. Luna likes to knock things off of tables onto the dogs while they're sleeping. So I left the book on my desk, and right underneath my desk is the dog bed. And Sylvanas loves to go right there and sleep because she likes to be near me. I get up, I go get a drink, and I come back and I hear this loud, like, thunk. She had knocked Chronicle off my desk onto the sleeping dog. And all I heard was that thunk followed by the yell, and this, like, skittering run on hardwood floor all the way to the other side of the house. Yeah, so my dog, Sylvanas, has been
Your
assaulted
cat's
by Chronicle.
Mean.
Oh, yeah. My cat's a jerk. My cat's a jerk.
Well, then again, your cat's probably like forsaken scum push. Your cat is obviously a Worgen cat druid.
Well, I mean, her name is Luna, so she does worship the moon, so.
It's a night elf in disguise.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. It's basically at this point we do the emails. This week, Anne's going to be reading them because I'm having a little bit of an eye issue. So, Anne?
Which is cool. That's fine. Our first email is from George from Silvermoon EU. George, I hope that's your name on the server, because that would be one heck of a score to land that name on any server. Reads, hello, Blizzard Watch. I've been a fan for over 3 years and have finally decided to ask a question. That's great. I was wondering if we could get a lore podcast, sorry, Alex, on Illidan, Vash, and Kael'thas and how they all became friends and what they all exactly got up to together and what exactly they did in Outland together, and also what happened to all three in the end. Thank you very much and keep up the good work. Actually, I don't think we even really need a lore podcast for that, because it's pretty...
It's simple. Straightforward.
It's
yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
You want Joe? You want to fill in?
Can I just, before Joe does? I just like how they all became friends.
They all became super friends.
I want to see, like, the animated version of this where they do all become friends, and it's all like Illidan said, "Let's go do this."
Kind of like an Island of Misfit Toys type.
Well,
scenario.
There's a Machinima series out there with, like, all of them being buddies, but it's adults. Anyway, Joe, you want to fill them in?
I forget how all three of them got linked together, honestly.
You want to fill it in? Because you know.
Yeah, here's how we start off with basically Illidan met up with Vosh when he summoned the Naga to aid him after the events of, going into the events of, I can't remember the name of the bloody expansion pack. It's
Frozen Throne.
Frozen Throne, thank you. He called up the Naga. Basically, he needed help. And Ashara has a soft spot for Illidan, even though he betrayed her because she sent them. Vosh was the servant that she sent to aid him. How Kael'thas got involved is actually because Illidan got caught. He ran back to Outland, but Maia followed him and caught him. And so Vosh needed help to get him free. At the time, Kael'thas was working for the Alliance, of all things. Keep in mind, this was the Alliance of Lordaeron, and it wasn't like the Alliance we have in game today. And it's debatable how much it really was even the Alliance, because the person in charge, Garathos, was sort of a racist jerk who was cut off from all lines of communication.
He was a big jerk. He was a real big jerk.
He was basically trying to kill off the last of the Blood Elves via incredibly difficult missions because he didn't want to risk his own people, and because he was a racist, and because he was a little bitter that the Blood Elves, when they were High Elves, had just stood back and done nothing during a big chunk of the problems in Lordaeron. But at any rate, so Kael'thas was in a really impossible situation, and Vosh essentially helped him out. She was like, "All right, I'll help you, and you'll owe me one." Kael'thas completed the mission, and instead of being grateful, Garath was like, "You consorted with the Naga, I'm locking you up." At this point, Vosh was like, "Okay, you see what I'm saying here? You can't work with these people." And Kael'thas was like, "You're right, I can't work with these people. Let's all go to Outland, because obviously these guys are all jerks." So they did, and once they got there, Vosh was like, "Okay, you need help with this whole crazy addicted to magic thing. My boss knows more about being crazy addicted to magic than anybody in the world. He can totally help you. Just one teensy little problem in that he's in that cage over there surrounded by, hostile Night Elf wardens." And Kael'thas was like, "Okay, I guess we could break him out." And she's like, yeah, that's what we could do. I totally would never have thought of that. I certainly didn't recruit you in the first place for that reason. No, you're totally the smartest, Kael'thas. And so they went and broke Illidan out. Illidan was like, "Yeah, I can totally help you with that magic addiction thing. But first, we need to take over Outland." And Kael'thas was like, "Well, okay. This place is kind of a dump, but
a lot sure." A lot of Illidan's strategies seem to involve, "But first."
Yeah. Illidan's kind of a...
Give you the Temple of Karabor back, but first.
Yeah. He seems to have kind of like a milder form of David Xanatos syndrome.
Yeah.
And that every plan he has involves, in fact, some other plan that you're not really involved in. But so they basically teamed up. They went around Outland, cutting off all the various portals that Gul'dan had opened because the demons were using them to stream in demons. And that wasn't really a great idea for them because it's hard enough to beat a Pit Lord when you have to also fight his army of demons. So yeah, they went and cut off all the portals. Then they recruited the Draenei. This time the broken Draenei, led by Akama. This was sort of one of the situations where Akama was like, "I don't trust you, but I really don't trust that guy." And Gilliland's like, "Yeah, I suspect we're going to come to cross purposes at some point, but right now, I think we can all agree we don't like Magtheridon." And so they got together, they cut off the portals, they assaulted the Black Temple, and they kicked Magtheridon's butt. And that's how they basically... I don't want to say became friends, because really these guys weren't besties by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know how long it took Kael'thas to betray Illidan, but it wasn't very long. And Vosh has always really worked for Ashara and the Naga. She wasn't really, although she was loyal to Illidan in her way. She always was very respectful. She always called him Lord Illidan. She always treated him with respect.
Maybe she thought he was cute boots. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. But
or maybe he was, capable of destroying her. You don't know.
But in any event, the three of them worked together as part of that overall. The problem is that Illidan's plan was great, except that he didn't count on just how much he ticked off Kil'jaeden. Like, Illidan seems to have a blind spot to just how irritating he is. And he'd irritated Kil'jaeden a lot, to the point where as soon as they'd beaten Magtheridon and taken over Outland and cemented Illidan's power, Kil'jaeden showed up and like, "What are you doing? Did I not tell you to to kill the Lich King. You may have mentioned something about killing the Lich King, yes. Is the Lich King on Outland? No, he does not appear to be here at this time. Is Megatheridon the Lich King? I'm pretty sure that he is not, no. I want you to go kill the Lich King now. I'll give you one more chance because I like how incredibly backstabbing you are. It really reminds me of somebody. I have a warm spot for people who lie and deceive. But this is the last time I'm going to warn you. The next time I come see you, I'm going to bring the entire Legion with me, and we're going to have another conversation, and it's going to be one you don't like. So that's how Kael'thas and Vash ended up on Northrend with Illidan, and the whole events of the Frozen Throne happened, and the whole trying to kill Arthas thing. Which, it's not like you needed a lot of excuses to get Kael'thas to want to kill Arthas.
Oh, no, he's been wanting to do that for a long time.
Kael'thas, not only had Arthas blown up Kael'thas's kingdom and killed his dad, which, you know, and broke his family's legendary rune blade, no less.
And, you know, destroyed the Sunwell, source of all the power.
But he stole his girlfriend first. Well, not his girlfriend. Aegina was never Kael'thas's girlfriend. She was
this
more
girl he was really into.
He was crushing on her heart. And then dibs. Arthas came in and was like, y'all got this, bro.
He had dibs, and Arthas just sort of sidled on in there.
So Kael'thas had a lot of built up resentment. So yeah, that's the Cliff Notes version. It could be a lot more. We could go on and on, but that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, Vash pretty much got Kael'thas's attention by saying, yeah, see, your people and my people were kind of the same because we're both kind of addicted to this whole magic thing. And Kael'thas was like, oh, wow, we are? We're like connected? Because, you know, obviously by that point it had been several generations down from when the Blood Elves the High Elves originally were banished from the Kaldari. But Vash kind of knew about that whole, we have common ancestry, so we should be buddies. And Kael'thas was like, I'm not sure about that, but you do know about this whole magic addiction thing. Wait, so do you have like a solution to that? Because my people are really having issues here. And yeah, that all kind of rolled into, let me introduce you to the big guy.
Yeah.
So hopefully that answers your question, George. Joe, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, not besides the fact that I always found that sort of interrelationship boring between the three of them, honestly, just because it always seemed like one of those like really bad, like Walters movie or Roger Waters movies where it's like these like high school kids are all like stuck in detention and like they're forced to work together, but they don't really like each other. And then
one of them like throws his fist to the sky on the football field.
I mean, to be fair, that did happen in the Illidan fight. He did throw his fist in the air.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just one of those things. Like I understand its importance, but it was always one of those things that I never cared for. I thought it was just kind of like, we have these three people. We're not doing anything. Well, let's just kind of throw them over there.
I always thought it was interesting when they brought in the Warlock Greenfire quest that you find out that Illidan essentially did have the means to cure the Blood Elves, but he was kind of busy screwing over somebody else.
I have the means to cure you, but first.
Yeah, but first. Yeah.
But first. Always but first.
It's like, if you think about it, Illidan is kind of like, everybody has a certain style to the way they evil overlord things. Like, the Joker is just mayhem. He kills his people. Dr. Doom is always involved in, like, something grandiose. And Illidan always has something else he needs you to do first.
Before I can do that for you, I need you to do this other thing, which is also a contingency of somebody else doing something for me later on. Yeah, he's just ridiculously complicated. So moving on, next email from Noel Wiz, who's a proud Patreon supporter since day one. Thank you. To the wonderful world of Blizzard Watch. I like that moniker. I think we should keep it.
It reminds me of like the old Disney stuff from the 60s.
I know.
The wonderful world of Blizzard Watch.
We could put that on a t-shirt.
Next week, we're going to do a podcast about color. Now,
this is what a green item is. This is what a blue item
Here's how rainbows are formed. Okay. Have you guys heard anything about Blizzard potentially releasing the Overwatch soundtrack like they do for their other games? I really love the music. Thanks from Noel Wiz. I know that for a fact, the soundtrack is part of the Overwatch Collector's Edition. If you order the Collector's Edition, you can get the Overwatch soundtrack. I don't know if that's going to be available for a separate purchase or not. I hope so.
Well, I mean, I would imagine it would be. And then if it's anything, if it follows anything like they've done with the past games, the soundtrack becomes available in the collector's edition. Like 6 months later, it becomes a standalone purchase. And then like 6 months after that, it goes to like a streaming service like SoundCloud or Spotify, because I know Spotify has all of the Warcraft ones. So I would not be very surprised to see that be the case as a standalone if you don't want to get a collector's edition. I'm with you on that one, Noel Wiz, because I really love the music of Overwatch.
The music is great.
Has Blizzard put out bad music ever?
No.
No, like, I don't think they have.
I can't even, like, even for, like, expansions of WoW, people didn't like the music was amazing. Like, the Cataclysm music was amazing. Like, I still to this day think that revamp they did for the Night Elf music was astonishingly good. I loved Mist's music. I think Warlords had great music. Diablo's music is great. Like, I still listen to that, like, the song that they used for the trailer for Diablo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I listen to that song. It's a straight up great song. It's right up there for me. It's right up there with Skyrim, which had, like, a great theme.
Skyrim theme is just kind of, it's so good.
But the music for, like, the music we're hearing in Legion is amazing. Did you see the preview they did a little while ago? One of the Warcraft Twitters, they linked a preview to Legion music.
No.
Oh, that was like a 2 months ago, something like that?
Something like that. It was really. Yeah.
I missed it, and you're going to have to link me to it.
I'll have to find
it. I
want
to hear that.
But yeah, so music in Blizzard games is always good. I've heard only two Overwatch songs, one of which is in their commercial for the release date, and that song's amazing. So, yeah.
All of the map music is great. Like, each map has its own theme thing. I love the Dramato map. I think that one has some of the coolest music. The
characters have music too, don't they? Because Lucio theme, and I love it.
Well, he's a DJ, so he's got like standalone songs himself, and yeah, it's one of those things where if I don't get it immediately, I will be getting it when it comes out on iTunes, because I love the themes from it.
I have a friend who hates Lucio, and she's playing on the Overwatch beta. She said, "It's like I just got my ass kicked by David Guetta." And she really hates that.
Okay, so moving on, we have, this is kind of like a three-part question, so I'm just going to go down each question in kind, but this is from Gorquen, is how I'm going to pronounce it.
I'm with you.
Gorquen. And Gorquen says, "Greetings, watchers, three questions today. However, the first one's short and easy." It's so not short and easy. Yeah. Short, maybe. The question is short. The answer is not. So, first question. Are you planning on having a summary post for Chronicle at some point? If yes, do you know roughly in how much detail it's going to be?
Jeez.
Rossi?
You think that's an easy question?
So well, it's oh short. My God. I mean, it was just like, it was a short little question, but yeah, so, Rossi?
To answer your question, I don't know. I doubt. I think Ann and I will probably both tackle Chronicle at some point in Know Your Lore. I plan on using it more as a fuel for future posts than just sit down and try and give you an overview of this thing. This thing is huge. It covers a lot. It is itself a summary, and it's like hundreds of pages.
Yeah, it's not really something you could sit and just summarize the entire book in like one.
I can't bullet point this thing more than it itself does, and it
keeps things fairly concise. And even though it's concise, it's still whacked the heck out of Joe's dog. So, I don't think I'm going to approach it from let's summarize this entire book, because that would just be silly.
And impossible.
It would also do the book a disservice too, really.
It would. What I'll probably end up to, I know on my end, what I'll probably end up doing is taking like pieces of it and kind of exploring what was revealed there.
Yeah, exactly.
And how that interlocks with everything else. So, I mean, will there be discussion pieces about what you find in Chronicle? Yes. Are we going to do a direct summary of the book? No.
No. Do you remember we've done posts where we talked about the lore of an expansion?
Yeah.
Just an expansion, and that usually takes us a couple of posts to do. Chronicle would be 20 posts.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a point in time where I like went over like the Warcraft novels. I would summarize the Warcraft novels and kind of it was like a Cliff's Notes version of what happened in the novel and how that related to what we were seeing in Azeroth. And those were usually like two posts worth of material. This would easily be like a year's worth of material. It's too expansive to just sum up. That's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Without spoilers, one thing I can tell you is that there is information on the Titans in this book that I will be going at, and I'm sure Anne will be as well.
Yep.
Yeah, there's stuff that needs to be talked about. But, yeah, that's all I can really say on that one. That is not an easy question, dude.
Okay, so second one is slightly longer. It says, there was a Q question at one point which revolved around making macros to say a certain phrase whenever an ability was used. As I recall, the general consensus was that this was really annoying for everyone else around you, and I'd have to agree. The way I got around this was by making macros to play sound files when I used an ability, so that I would still get to enjoy it, and no one else even needed to know. My favorites include Emune's from the Halls of Origination, I can't speak words today, Your Life, Unleashed, bound to, you guessed it, Unleash Life on my Resto Shaman, as well as Algalon's The Stars Come to My Aid with my Druid Starfire. Do you have any good ability quote combos you can think of?
I for a long time I had Ascendance on my Shaman linked to play Power Overwhelming.
You see, now I want the other version of that. I want the one that the Protoss unit says. Do you remember that?
You must have additional pylons.
No. The one when it fuses to a Dark Templar and it goes Power Overwhelming, and it just starts destroying everything in its path. You have to go watch Legacy of the Void trailer if you haven't, man.
Okay.
Yeah, the Legacy of the Void trailer, it was in there. It was pretty cool.
Overwhelming. In terms of the thing about warriors is most of our stuff would probably be linked to someone going, ah! You know, because we're not a very articulate group. We'd just be like, you know, like various different variations of, So... Sure, I'll throw in some...
And those are kind of already in there anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, to a degree, yeah. But one I actually would do is I would totally do this because it's cliche and it's ridiculous and it's just overdone and I would still do it. I would put Bone Storm on Blade Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what? Because it's true. That's what he does. He yells Bone Storm.
See, and I wouldn't want to inflict it on myself, but I could see, like, Reflect Magic or whatever. Is that still a thing? Do people still do that?
Spell Reflect?
Yeah.
Yeah, it still exists.
So Spell Reflect, like, do that, and then, like, have Syndragos's Suffer Mortals as your pathetic magic betrays you. But I don't want to inflict that on myself, because I don't like Syndragos. She hurts my ears.
Yeah. That's not a good idea.
Okay, third one. Third one is posted with parentheses since Rossi requested a transmog question. So here we go, Rossi.
Yay.
When transmog was announced, one of my very first reactions beyond inarticulate joy was cool. Now they can make race-specific or at least racially inspired tier sets without it being a huge issue. That isn't something that seems to have happened to any great extent, though. Do you feel like that's something they should try to do? Or would you prefer that they kept it to outside and or cosmetic sets like they've sort of been doing with the Stormwind armor and Dark Shaman sets?
They've actually done that. They did that with the Draenei and in this expansion. They gave it, there was like a Draenei Transmogum plate you could get that looks exactly like the plate the guards are wearing.
And they had all the Orc clan stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, actually, they did it in Siege of Orgrimmar to a degree, in that the armor warriors got was basically Orc inspired. It was like techno flashy, but at the same time, it was orcish. It was barbaric. It was supposed to look like something an orc would wear. So they have done that to a degree. The problem they seem to have is that they make transmog, when they make tier sets, they tend to have like a broad feeling they're going for rooted in the raid rather than, you know, it would be cool to have Night Elf armor. They might give you Night Elf armor for, say, if there's a Suramar raid. Because that would be something that the Nightborn might wear. Do you know what I'm saying with this? Like,
yeah,
tier sets tend to look like they're linked to the place you get them from.
Which makes sense, right? Like,
yeah,
it just makes a certain amount of sense. Like, look at Pandaria, which has some of the my favorite raid gear is very much themed around the places you get it from, whether it's Shaw Corrupted or whether it's like something that looks like you just took it out of a tomb of an ancient, like, you know, oriental style, like tomb. Like, it's just, I like that idea a little bit more. And I don't mind, personally, I do like stuff like the Dark Shaman Transmog, even though it took me 447 days to get it. I do like stuff like that, but I don't know if I could actually, or if I would actually like to see race specific stuff. I feel like some of that's already in the game. Like, there is Griffin armor, for which is very, very much like Wildhammer dwarves. There is stuff that looks like it's very much troll armor, but like, as far as new current sets, I think I'd like to see it stick to that sort of, this is where you got it from feel. So like, if we're going to Suramar, like you said, and we get Night Elf theme stuff, or elf theme stuff in general, fantastic. We go into the Emerald Nightmare and we get, you know, Emerald Dream, Emerald Nightmare theme stuff, fantastic. Like, I'm okay with that. I think that's better, in my opinion.
See, and I miss stuff like you found in Molten Core and Blackwing Lair, where it was really tailored to the class.
I don't know. My purple robes say that I didn't really feel that was very shaman-y. I got a purple muumuu and some lava on my shoulders. Shaman.
Yeah, but there were like, it was, you know, there was like lava and all of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. And a cat hat, because I have a cat hat.
And the cat hat.
Yeah.
Hey, Rexxar was rocking the cat hat for a long time. Stop. Anyway, no, I kind of liked those sets though, because Bloodfang, you have to, you know, Bloodfang was kind of iconic, and oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of the Paladin set, and everybody wears it.
Oh, Judgment.
Judgment, thank you.
Oh, Raid's favorite, Judgment.
Yeah, Judgment. Judgment is another one of those iconic sets. I would kind of argue that Transcendence was kind of an iconic set for Priest, because it had that, it looked like some kind of medieval stained glass window come to life, and you were wearing it on your body, and I thought that was really cool. And I kind of wish that we'd see more of that reflected in armor design, because we haven't really gotten a whole heck of a lot of that, where it was like, this feels like a rogue set. Now, mind you, I am speaking as a rogue, and a lot of the rogue tier that came out, I'm looking at you, the stuff that came out during Cataclysm, has like light bulbs on your shoulders and things like that. It's not really stealthy or anything that I would call remotely rogue inspired at all. So
basically, yeah, there's like the Olduar rogue set, which is like a big screaming face over your head.
It was the dead Yoda hat. Yeah,
it's one of those
Muppet hat.
It looked even worse, like, because it was,
they looked like you were wearing a Muppet on your head, and it was screaming.
It was really creepy. Yeah,
They used it for some pieces that druids, like offset pieces that druids were wearing. I remember seeing a female Tauren druid wearing that hat.
Oh yes.
This is the worst thing that has ever happened to this person.
It was terrible.
It looks like a combination of a dog collar, like the one to keep, not a dog collar, but a cone, like the cone of shame. Yep, they put on dogs. It looks like the cone of shame you'd put on a dog to keep it from licking an incision, combined with like a Muppet head plopped over just so the nose was sticking out. The Tauren nose is coming right out of the mouth. And it was just like, oh my God, this hat. I'm never going to feel bad about Warrior Transmog gear again. And then, of course, they made it tier 16. So, you know, hey. But
yeah.
I do think, I get why people like racial stuff, but racial stuff tends to not be terribly, like, it would only really look good on a couple of different races. Like, if you make a Tauren set, like I said, that looks like a Tauren, like Tauren racial armor, it's going to look silly as heck on your human paladin. And that's, you know, so that's why I think the way to go is the way we've seen, like, with the Blackrock clan stuff. I mean, the various Orc clan stuff and warlords being, like, you know, not being cosmetic transmogs that you can get if you want.
But it's not, like, a tier set. It's just an extra thing.
Yeah.
And I think it would be cool if, like, every race out there had, like, a specific outfit designed for them, some kind of cosmetic set designed for them.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
Like, the Stormwind set works perfectly for humans, because it's straight out of Warcraft 3. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be fine with, that, like, more stuff like that, like an elf set or a dwarf set.
Okay, well, moving on, let's go ahead and go to the next question, and it's from Alice Under, who writes us a lot.
Yes.
And says, I'm trying to free up bag space, yet keep anything that I can for transmog. I share your pain, Alessander. I know that we have months yet in which they can change how transmog will work, but as I understand it, only things of my armor type will be pulled into the transmog closet on day one of Legion. Any mail my hunter has, blues and purples, but no cloth or leather, no greens or whites or grays or golds. Is this correct, and might they include anything I have, even if it's a piece of plate that particular alt will never wear, or a nifty leather hat that I could wear around the auction house? It would seem to be easier to code to just take everything. What about trinkets that really should be in the toy box because of something funny they do, or my teleportation rings? Alessander.
I can tell you right now, the greens do go in if you equip them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's you can't just... Greens won't go in as soon as they drop for you, because if you sell them, then you didn't get to, why would you get to have that in your transmog?
You have to be able to
you
put
have to
them
bind
up.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, you have to actually have it bind to you, but greens absolutely do go in if you do that.
We
so
don't...
if you have
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just I'm just saying the reason that they did this, by the way, isn't because they couldn't have done it another way. It's because people were specifically complaining that certain classes would be better at transmog farming than others. There was a lot of complaints that warriors, paladins, and death knights would be the best for transmog hunting because they can wear plate,
they
mail,
can equip anything
leather, cloth.
That they pick up.
Yeah. So that's why they made the system the way it is. It's only the restrictions are there because of those complaints. If you have a problem with those restrictions, talk to the players who complained.
The other thing here, though, is that as far as what they're going to pull in from that initial boot, we don't know what that is. We don't know if it's going to be everything that you've ever collected. We don't know if it's going to be what they said at BlizzCon was that any quest rewards that you had earned, even the ones that you hadn't chosen, were going to go into your wardrobe. So basically, if you've completed a quest and there was a bunch of different armor rewards, all of those armor rewards supposedly would be going in the wardrobe. But
I kind of confirm that.
Huh?
In that, I can almost confirm that. In that, I've seen when I've picked a certain look on a quest that the other item has gone into my wardrobe.
Right. But what I'm saying is that,
yeah,
like,
the backdated stuff, I can't do anything about
it. Yeah, the backdated stuff. We've got no way to check that because character copies aren't actually open on the alpha.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If I could copy my character over and it had record of all of the quests that she had done, I could tell you immediately what would be going into that wardrobe. But I don't even think that they're done fully implementing the wardrobe just yet. So
no, they just added the ability to, like, it automatically filters items now in a way it didn't before. Like, if you go and look at two-handed swords, it only shows you the two-handed swords you know, whereas before it was showing you every two-handed sword in the game. That's just recently added. So they're still working on this system. It is constantly being iterated.
And not only that, it's one of those things that I can foresee, just like transmog and void storage and everything else that's come out. Even after the game is released, the system is probably going to change or get updated depending on feedback at a larger base. So, I mean, we don't know how that's going to play out in the long run, because, again, it could change. Not just from the alpha, but after it's actually released into the wild.
Mm-hmm. I can say that there's no sign that the transmog system that's coming in is going to do anything about your rings. So your teleport rings, yeah, they're not going in the toy box, to my knowledge.
I don't think so. There are some things that are going to go into the toy box, like trinkets and stuff like that, that weren't in there previously. I think Wowhead's got a pretty comprehensive list on what's going to be going into that toy box. But to my knowledge, like teleportation rings and stuff like that, those aren't going to go in there. I know for a little while anyway, in the database, it listed the teleportation, the portal things that you can use when you're an engineer, the stuff that teleports you to Gadgets Inn or Winterspring or whatever. Those were being added to the toy box, but they were also listed as being added to the toy box back in Warlords, and then they didn't actually make the final cut. Mm-hmm. So take that with a grain of salt.
Didn't they, like, I know that they went and put a couple Northrend trinkets. They duplicated their effect on toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like one Northrend trinket that's one of the best DPS trinkets for melee that, like, transforms you to various Northrend.
Yeah, it's from ICC, yeah. From the Sourfang fight.
Yeah. I know that trinket got duplicated, and I think a few others did as well. But in terms of, like, I don't know any further than that.
Okay, well, moving on to the next email. This is from Razor, pronounced Razor. Thank you for the pronunciation guide there. So, I'm Razor, Airy Peak Resto Shaman CTR. I don't know what that means. Okay, I'm a growing lore fan. I'm slowly coming into the makeup of the story surrounding the characters in our world that we call Azeroth. I've been playing since Classic. Cataclysm was great, dragons, aspects, Deathwing and all. With the aspects giving up their power, as I understand it, and no dragon aspects to lead the varying groups of dragons, do you think that with the leaked deaths of various key people in the game that they could come back as new aspects to protect Azeroth? And I'm not going to list off these people because this is all spoiler material. Why did we put this email in here? Okay, anyway. Do you think Rathian could play a role in establishing this power to these respective personalities? Maybe with help from the Valkyr and Sylvanas because they're already resurrecting people. Love the show. Keep up the fantastic work.
I'll tell you right now, Rathian's not going to be doing that.
Oh, CTR is convert to raid guild. Thank you, yep. Chat channel.
No, that's all I'll say.
I don't think so, no. And I'm not going to talk about, like, leaked deaths of various people because that's, like I said, that's, like, major spoiler material. I don't really want to cover that on the show.
Well, I think for me, like, just looking at it, I don't think we need aspects anymore. Like, we talked about it a little bit on Lore Watch before. The time for aspects has kind of passed, right? Like,
that's why they had that whole thing about the Age of Mortals has begun.
Right. Exactly. It's just one of those things where, like, if you look at it, what did the aspects do that we as heroes can't do now, or that we haven't done, or that we haven't been doing? Like,
for that matter, were they doing better?
Were they really
doing a great job? I mean,
right.
I don't know, that's
my opinion. My opinion is that it's the Age of Mortals, and we don't need more aspects. I think that whatever happens from here on out is in our hands, and I think that's the way it should be.
That was kind of the whole point of Cataclysm, was that, you know, at the end of it, the aspects, they fulfilled their purpose. There is no purpose for having aspects anymore. So,
well, that's like something too that's been we've been getting since Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
The game keeps telling us, you know, no, it's in your hands now.
Medivh was trying to make that point at the end of Warcraft 3 where he was like, the Age of Mortals.
And I can just see Medivh sitting around going, look, I already, you have to, now they had
to. I'm going to go take my place with the Legends of the Past, and then the aspects are going to drag you back into all this mess because apparently what I said wasn't good enough. Fine.
But then
I'm just imagining Medivh sulking in a tavern somewhere. A spirit tavern.
I told them.
Spirit tavern.
Spirit tavern.
Honestly, he showed up looking pretty physical at the end of Warcraft 3. I like to imagine that he's just plain freaking retired. He's got a cottage.
He's somewhere. Out on a farm somewhere.
He's got a cottage somewhere with his magic books, and he reads.
And a dog. He got a dog after.
And like every so often, like Anduin Lothar's spirit shows up, and they have a couple of drinks, and Anduin's like, you know, I can't really drink this. I'm a ghost. And he's like, just have the tankard, okay? So how you doing? I'm a ghost. I'm a ghost, Medivh. You know, you remember?
No, you
dead.
Can drink that. Those are spirits.
Oh.
Oh, that's
I'm sorry.
I actually facepalmed. Good job.
But yeah, it's we don't need aspects. More importantly, I think the aspects were set up for as part of something that is well and truly broken at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It was a system designed by distant titans to work in a way that no longer matters. Like when Algolon comes and we stop him. That's a sign that we have effectively stepped outside of the Titan's plan.
Whatever little thing was going on there, designed program that was going on there that had the aspects come into play is no longer valid because we're pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I used to, just to take it kind of outside a while, I always thought of it from Classic all the way up to now and how things have shifted as we get more powerful. Very similar to a tabletop game, Dungeon Crawl Classic, and Rossi may have played that at some point. But basically, when you start, each player gets 5 characters, and they're 5 level 0 characters. They're like farmers and like, you know, sheep herders and stuff like that. They're absolutely weak people, but you have a ton of them because you have 6 players. You have 30 characters on the table. At the end of the first adventure, some of those people die, and the ones that survive get stronger. So now you need less of them. So you don't need 30 people. Now you have 5. And like, as the game has gone, we've gone from these fresh green heroes where we needed to gather 39 other friends to go take down these elemental lords, to even before that, where we had to have massive armies of heroes to combat these giant baddies or whatever was threatening us, down to now where it's like, I mean, I look at individual characters and how much we can do as characters now, the power scale, so to speak, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, we're just a lone warrior is basically like a Titan Watcher in a lot of aspects and can sit there and take down an entire army worth of baddies. A shaman can rain down destructive power upon an entire force. I mean, we saw this most recently in our current expansion where, you know, Drekthar is just like, you know what? That mountain needs to come down. Yeah, and he just did it, you know, and players are getting to that point too. So from that power creep standpoint, it's like, I want to be that player character. I want to be that guy that's like, you know what, I can defend this universe. I got this.
At most, I'll bring, like, you know, 4 friends because it's looking kind of tense. So I got some buddies. We're going to go in and do this. And
we'll go get this done.
Okay, look, this one's really cataclysmic, so I'm going to bring 9 other people.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's all I'm going to bring because, man, come on, 9 people. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You know, if I have to coordinate them. I got to make sure they're all ready to go. Okay, absolutely the most dangerous thing in the universe. Fine, I'll bring another 19 people, but that is it.
That is. I am drawing a line. Drawing a line right there. As far as Rathian goes and his involvement in all of this, I don't think he has any vested interest whatsoever in bringing the aspects back.
He has his own plans.
He's got his own agenda. He's got his own thing he's doing, and dragons do not take a place in that at all. For one thing, he's not exactly happy with the Red Dragonflight and probably wouldn't really care too much if they were wiped right off the map, since they engineered his existence and kind of killed his mother. And then the Black Dragonflight, he has no interest in seeing that return whatsoever.
You're setting off all my spoilers.
His first action, you know, right out of the shell was to go wipe out the Black Dragonflight. That's what he did. That's what he had rogues do in the Rogue Legendary Quest Chain. If you've never played through the Rogue Legendary Quest Chain, Rathian basically sends you on a bunch of missions to go take care of the last few dregs of the Black Dragonflight that there are left. Now, mind you, we have that whole question of, what about that guy, the Black Dragon that was over there on Outland? What about him? Well, we don't know. He hasn't come back. We haven't seen him since. As far as Rathian is concerned, he's the last one left, and he'd like to keep it that way. The others are just kind of there, but I don't think that Rathian's really, like, concerned too much with the aspects and their roles in society.
Yeah. And there's the ones that are left are just doing their dragony thing. They're not aspects anymore. They're just big, powerful dragons.
They're kind of, yeah, they're doing their own stuff.
You know, if Alexstrasza shows up, you don't go, aha, she's nothing now, because she is a giant dragon.
Yeah, and she was kind of responsible for the immortality of the Night Elves and all of that, and that's not something they're soon going to forget.
Yeah, she is a very big dragon. You know, it is not a question of, well, she's powerless now. She is still a dragon the size of a boat that can breathe fire on you, man. I wouldn't go and get too cocky.
I wouldn't, no. Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. I think this is kind of our last question for the day. And this says, hi, Watchers. Bootru here from Twisting Nether. You? Little prediction. I think the Lich King will come to our aid to fight the Burning Legion. My question is, can this be explained lore-wise? Well, Bootru, you asked that question to the right 3 people, because we will talk this to death. What do you guys think?
Oh, it can and is explained lore-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think at this point, this isn't a spoiler because it's been all over the internet. The Death Knight artifacts, at least one of them, is directly from the Lich King. He straight up he's the one that tells you how to get it.
Keep in mind that this is not like the Lich King as in Arthas the Lich King. No. This is the Lich King as in Bolvar the Lich King.
Yes. Bolvar the Lich King, although other Lich Kings do have a presence in this quest. That's all I'll say. The history
of
the Lich King.
Well, that's fascinating, and now I need to go play through that stuff so I know what you're talking about.
Yes. but in terms of the Lich King's involvement, it's very simple. The Lich King, when he was a human, didn't like the Burning Legion. The Lich King, in general, doesn't like the Burning Legion.
Lich King, when he was an orc, wasn't really keen on the Burning Legion either.
No Lich King has ever liked the Burning Legion, because the Lich King was created by them as a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is... The Bolvar Four Dragon is
We will
possibly,
never be slaves, but you know, we will be conquerors. No.
Bolvar Four Dragon is not the kind of person that takes the threat of something like that lightly. And you definitely get to see how he differs as a Lich King in that quest, and how he doesn't. And again, I can't really go into too much detail, but yeah, it's quite explainable in the lore. It's quite, even if this was like, if the Legion had made this invasion while it was Arthas up there on that throne, plotting
probably be
Arthas
the same
eat,
thing.
Arthas would have turned on him too.
Yeah, Arthas would have been right there. In fact, if Ner'zhul had still been the Lich King and the Legion came, you know, when we went through Warcraft 3, Ner'zhul betrayed the Legion the soonest he possibly could. Like, as soon as he was in a position to do so, he betrayed the Legion. As soon as he had a servant who was unquestionably his, that would exert his will, he turned on them.
The Legion and the Lich King and the Scourge have kind of a long history that goes all the way back to Warcraft 3, when the Lich King kind of gave the Legion the proverbial finger and took off. There was a reason why Kil'jaeden wanted Illidan to take care of the Lich King and shut him down.
Yes,
and there was a reason why the Scarlet Crusade, when they were corrupted by an agent of the Burning Legion, their efforts turned to eradicating the Scourge.
Yeah.
There was a reason for all of that. The Legion does not like the Lich King. He was the one that got away, and they don't appreciate it.
Yep. And the worst part is that, you know, the necromancy that he uses is from the Legion. It's a secret that they taught him. That makes them incredibly angry. They don't like that. You don't get to steal their power and use it against them. Look at the whole thing with Illidan. The Illidan has done the exact same thing. He's stolen their power and used it against them.
The only difference between Illidan and the Lich King is that they managed to regain some semblance of control over Illidan. And yeah. Actually, Legion is kind of, you know, you see it not in that trailer. Was it in the trailer?
No.
Was Uldan in the trailer, or was he in, like, the announcement thing?
He's that announcement thing, yeah.
In the announcement thing, you see Gul'dan, he's going downstairs into the Vault of the Wardens, and he finds Illidan's corpse and, like, casts some green magic. It's like, yep, you're still ours. You're still demony. You're still one of us. Great, come back. What Illidan's role is going to be in Legion, we actually don't know that yet.
Nope.
That's the fun part, is that we don't really know where he's going to fit in. Because even, and I know this isn't really too spoilery to say, but, you know, in the zones that I have leveled through on the Alpha, no mention of Illidan whatsoever. It's not even something that they mention. Maybe they mention it in, like, the artifact starting quests and things like that.
No, there's a side quest that involves a character who has got a connection to Illidan, and she is trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah,
but that's
there's
basically
that one.
It.
There's
yeah.
that one. Okay. They do mention him there. But otherwise, he's really... I mean, it's not like he's there.
No. We fight a boss. We fought a boss in Vault of the Wardens who talks very briefly about how we can't stop what's coming.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And
that's...
It's kind of interesting to me, because one of the things that I was kind of bummed out about with Burning Crusade was that Illidan was on the box, but you didn't really see him unless you raided Black Temple.
Yeah.
There was like one quest that you saw him in.
And even then
it
was a shadow version of him too.
It
wasn't
a shadow
even really
version.
Him.
Well, if you went and did the Netherwing rep grind, he showed up. But like beyond that, you really didn't see him. You didn't. And this was the guy that was on the box, you know? You kind of expected to see him all over the place, and you didn't. So I'm wondering, is his story going to come into play once we hit level 110? Like, is he going to be part of that endgame arc? Is that something that's going to be going on? Because as of right now, not too much about him. But they are talking him up. I mean, the novel
yeah.
that's coming out involves him directly, so...
I will say this much, too. One thing that's interesting. We know Suramar is going to play a part. And Illidan is from Suramar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have this elven society that evolved, the Nightborn. We don't know much about them, but they evolved up after the Cataclysm, not the Cataclysm, the Sundering. So what's interesting here is Illidan could be seen to them as kind of a precursor.
A little bit, yeah.
And we don't know like how long they live or what their lives are like. We know that even without the Well of Eternity and even without the blessing of the ancients, Night Elves live a long time. Like a very long time.
They might not be immortal, but they've still got a really lengthy lifespan.
Yeah, they live thousands of years. They live even longer than like a high slash blood elf who can live, you know,
hundreds of years.
Oh, Anisterion was thousands of years old. They've argued Anisterion was at least a couple thousand years old because they at most the blood elf, they go into a whole thing about it, but you know, point being, it's still crazy. Like we don't know how long this civilization has endured. We don't know what they're like. So Surmar could be like, you know, it could tie in because it is Illidan's home, you know? Ironically, it's also Tyrande and Malfurion's home. And they're both in this expansion too. So
it's basically Surmar is going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. And I can't wait to see them open that up.
Yeah.
That's max level content, so I don't think we're going to see it open up for a little while. Obviously, on Alpha right now, 108 is the cap. You can't hit max level just yet.
Unless soon, you go to the PvP realm, yeah.
Soon, I'm hoping. Yeah, but even if you go to the PvP realm, you're restricted to Dalaran. You can't actually go do any questing or anything like that. Yeah. Because you're just testing PvP. So, yeah, that wraps it up for our emails, I think. I'm pretty sure. And Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. And your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
And that's it for this week, as Andrew said. If you have an email for us, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. We really like getting emails and answering them on the show. It's one of the things we do. This has been Blizzard Watch Podcast. I'm Matt Rossi. I've been hosting. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.